Good morning, Plano Bible Chapel. We're glad you're here to worship with us this morning online. I'd like to encourage you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians as we're studying Paul's letter to this church in the first century, seated right in the center of the Roman Empire, the center of economy. So many different things are going on there. And what Paul is doing is communicating to this young church what it looks like to be an authentic Christian. He's asking the question and answering it through his word, what does it look like to live an authentic Christian life in a world that promotes living for self? And the same question we can ask of ourselves today of what does it look like for us to live a life for Christ that is real, that is genuine, that goes beyond just the surface needs of the church and of the world, but really gets to the heart of who we are and how we live in these days, especially in these difficult, just bizarre days of the coronavirus crisis. And so in 1 Corinthians, Paul is looking to his friends and encouraging them. I want to ask you a question this morning, in addition to what does it look like to live an authentic Christian life, but maybe in something more specific in these days. How would you answer the following question? It comes from Lynn, a woman in Wuhan, China. She says this, the coronavirus started in my city and it spreads all over the world. The city is locked down. We're not allowed to leave the area. We've been isolated for weeks and we don't know when it's going to end. Many families are broken and suffering. So here's her question. Why did God let the coronavirus happen? Is it God's plan? How would you answer that question? If you were sitting in your living room from a safe physical distance, of course, of 6 feet, how would you answer a question? Is coronavirus part of God's plan? Well, what you need in order to answer this question is not just the facts, not just your opinion, not just what you think about it, not what the media has to say about it, really not even what anyone in the government, from our president down to our local mayor, has to say about it. What we need is God's wisdom for how to navigate these days and apply his wisdom to our situations, to our circumstances, to the things that are going on around us. So where do we find the wisdom to answer these difficult questions of life? Who do we turn to? Who do we go to find out more information? Where do we find God's wisdom? Well, in 1 Corinthians, Paul says that the wisdom of God is found in the cross of his son, Jesus, and in the power of his spirit. Through his indwelling presence, as well as through his written word, God guides us in his wisdom. And this wisdom of God can't be found in more research. It can't be found in more progress, more knowledge, more information that we certainly have in our day and age. It can't be found in what we often turn to these days, even in more technology and the progress of our world. Now, the wisdom of God is found in the cross of his son and in the power of his spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 gives us insight into God's word. Let me just take a moment to pray for us as we begin. Father, we thank you for your word that you've provided for us through the Apostle Paul. We thank you for his letter to the Corinthians that applies also to us. We thank you for inspiring him to write the very words that you desired. And Father, we pray that as we hear your word, as we read it, as we respond to it, we pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would illuminate it to us so that we would understand who you are, your plan for our lives. Give us your wisdom through your word this morning. Because of your Son and by the power of your Spirit, we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, read along with me. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 4. Picking up where Ryan Reeves left off last week in verse 4, Paul says, my speech and my proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and power, so that your faith might not be based on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Continuing on in verse 6, however, among the mature, we do speak a wisdom, but not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. On the contrary, we speak God's hidden wisdom in a mystery which God predestined before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age knew it, for if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, no eye has seen and no ear has heard, and what has never come into a man's heart is what God has prepared for those who love him. Now God has revealed them to us by the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the deep things of God. Verse 11, for who among men knows the concerns of a man except the spirit of a man that is in him? In the same way, no one knows the concerns of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, in order to know what has been freely given to us by God. Verse 13, we also speak these things, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. You see, first of all, the unbelieving world denies the wisdom of God that is found in his Son. The unbelieving world simply denies the wisdom of God that can only be found in Christ. This wisdom from God remains obscure to unspiritual people who have only their natural abilities, their research, their study, their intellect, their mind, their feelings. But the wisdom of God can only be discerned by Christians through the assistance, through the power of God's Holy Spirit. Notice in these verses all the antitheses expressed in the not and but statements. It's part of Paul's argument that the unbelieving world simply denies God's wisdom. They can't comprehend it. He says, starting in verse 6, what we speak is not the wisdom of this age, but the wisdom of God. Verse 8, not what the rulers in this age knew, but the revelation of God that he makes known. In verse 12, not what the spirit of this world offers, but what the Spirit of God gives. Again, in verse 13, not what is taught by human wisdom, but what is taught by the Spirit. And if we were to go on, we can see in verse 14, not what the human faculties can perceive, but what the Spirit enables one to discern. And the reason for this is the final verse in this chapter, verse 15. Because we have, as believers in Christ, in his crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension, and the indwelling of the Spirit, we have the mind of Christ. But the unbelieving world, who denies the Son of God, Jesus, and his crucifixion, denies the wisdom of God. Several key phrases are in here of the world and a mystery and hidden. We see that the wisdom of the world is opposed to God. As Paul talks about the wisdom of the world, really what he's talking about in the world is the organized satanic system that is opposed to God and therefore hostile to us as believers and followers of Jesus. It's simply the non-Christian culture. It's the government, our educational systems, businesses, media, movies, music, literature. Now, none of those things are evil in and of themselves, but that's the world and their system that opposes the wisdom of God because they oppose Christ and who he is and what he's did for the world and dying on the cross. So the wisdom of this world is opposed to God. Paul also says that the wisdom of God is a mystery. A mystery which God predestined, verse 7, before the ages for our glory. A mystery is not something to be solved with Scooby-Doo or any of your favorite television show detectives. It's not a Columbo kind of thing. It's a mystery in that it was previously unknown, but now, since Christ took on flesh, lived on the earth as the sinless Son of God, died on the cross, was buried for 3 days, raised to resurrection of new life. What we didn't know before, that was a mystery, is now known, but is still hidden from unbelievers. The wisdom of God is opposed, or the wisdom of the world is opposed to God, but the wisdom of God is a mystery. And verse 8 says that the wisdom of God is also hidden. That the natural person, through his or her own resources, simply cannot figure out the wisdom of God. They just don't have the tools. It's not that they aren't smart enough, but the wisdom of God is a spirit thing. It's not a mind thing. It's not even a knowledge or an information thing. It's absolutely impossible for a person to reason his or her way into faith in Christ. No matter how much importance we place on apologetics, and we should place importance on it, of explaining and giving reasons for the hope that we have in Christ, no amount of apologetics can save someone unless God, by His Spirit, moves in the heart of someone to place their trust in Christ. So the reason that the unbelieving world simply cannot know the eternal wisdom of God is because they don't know His Son, Jesus. And the message about Christ crucified embodies the wisdom of God. That's where we have to start. The wisdom of God is Christ crucified for sinners like you and me, for the sins of the world. And it's effective and powerful as we place our trust in Christ, believing He is who He says He is, and He did what He said He would do. And as He ascended into heaven, His Spirit descended upon those who believe in Him, who call Him their Savior. So secondly, we see that spiritual believers are those who rely on the wisdom of God by His Spirit. That spiritual believers rely on the wisdom of God, not in their own intellect, in their own emotions, in their own capacity, but it's only by God and His grace and His mercy, by the power of His Spirit at work within us. Look at some of the positive statements for spiritual believers in Christ that Paul mentions, revealing that the wisdom of God was, in verse 7, predestined. In verse 9, prepared by God. Verse 7 says, again, that this mystery was once hidden, but now, verse 10, revealed by God. And it was revealed to those who are mature, who love God, verse 9, and have received the Spirit because they have placed their trust in Christ, His Son. Only spiritual people know what has been given to us by God, by His grace, through Christ, by the power of His indwelling Spirit, so that we have the mind of Christ. Now, Paul asserts that God's wisdom comes through revelation, and that revelation comes through His Spirit. And only spiritual people can receive this revelation. And so this revelation points us to Christ, whose selfless obedience sets the tone for living an authentic life, so that we live no longer for ourselves, no longer for our fears, no longer driven by our economy or finances or politics, but driven by the kingdom of God, because He sent His Son. And He indwells us with His Spirit to bring insight and revelation and to illuminate, to make known His Word so that we can apply it to our lives. And that's the third point, that mature believers not only rely on the wisdom of God, but they apply it. They apply the wisdom of God in this world, in their thinking, in their feeling, in their relationships, in their working, and they're living. Look again at verse 12. Paul says, "Now we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, in order to know what has been freely given to us by God. We speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people." See, mature believers apply this wisdom of God into everything of who they are and how they live. The problem, however, that we face in this generation is that we are so inundated with information. We're so overwhelmed with media, from music to movies to Kindle books to Audible. We have all this information flooding our minds, causing us to think so much that with all of these influences and with all this information, we are too often influenced by the world rather than being filled and led by His Spirit. It's difficult for the wisdom of God by the Spirit of God to find a window into our lives because our windows are covered because of what we're watching, what we're listening to, what we're reading, what we're being influenced by a world that is opposed to God rather than being filled with His Spirit. So here are three ways to apply the wisdom of God in this world today. First of all, you and I must devote more time listening to God. There's really no way around it for us to devote more time to listening to God than listening to the world. We've got to spend more time reading His Word, spend time studying it. And a part of that is not just listening to devotions or sermons that are filtered to some degree. And trust me, I believe in the power of God's Word and being taught the preaching of His Word as well. But the Spirit of God gives us wisdom by being men and women of the book, studying His Word, taking time to pray, Lord, when I study it today, when I'm reading this, Lord, show me what I need to see. Help me hear what I need to hear. Reveal to me what needs to be revealed. Help me not just have the information and the facts of stories or poetry or wisdom or letters, but Lord, speak to my heart so that I may have the wisdom of God as we devote ourselves to listening to His Word. Now, one of the incredible things as we do that, as we devote ourselves in this day and age, it's not just the rulers of this world and the information that we have, but some of the technology that we have on our phones, at our fingertips. As we ask God to reveal His Word to us, to study commentaries like Dr. Constable's notes that are available for free anywhere, at any time, just a few clicks and you're there. And even as you read those, it's not just to hear what Tom has to say, but as God led Tom to write these notes, and to gather information and other commentators, it's to drive us back to, Lord, what are You saying in Your Word? So that I have Your wisdom, not just by what I've read, not just by what I can comprehend, but wisdom that comes by Your Spirit as I devote myself and as You devote yourself more time to listening to God's Word. Well, secondly, we're to live in obedience to God's Word. Live in obedience to what God has clearly said. And for most of us, I imagine that it's not the small, difficult to understand things that we have a hard time obeying. It's the clear things. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and loving others as yourself. Those are the difficult things at times for me to obey, and the practical ways to do that. Lord, give me wisdom as I spend time in Your Word. Conform me to the image of God's Son, Jesus, as I gather this wisdom, this knowledge, this transformation that happens by the power of the Spirit, not just because I've devoted myself to reading it, but I've also devoted myself to obeying it, the things that I already know. And a part of living in obedience to God's Word is not just what I do when I obey it, but how I respond to God when I disobey it. Confessing sin. Realizing if I'm going to seek the wisdom of God, if there's something in my relationship with God that He and I both know where I've been sinning, I've been selfish, I haven't been living according to His Word and the things that are clear. Well, just like a parent to a child or between friends, if there's something between us relationally, it's going to be hard for us to relate to one another. Might be an obstacle or something that is blocking our ability to hear and to live out the wisdom of God if there's something that we know we have done. And even if there's something that we're unaware of, for us to pray, Lord, reveal that to me in such a way by your Spirit so that I can deal with it, so I can acknowledge it, confess it, make it right, either between the Lord or maybe between someone else. To live in obedience to God so that we can have the wisdom of God poured into our hearts by his Spirit. And third, we're to connect with God's people. Not just getting their opinion, not just getting more information, but as we connect with others, like iron sharpening iron, to encourage, to admonish, to spur one another on to love and good deeds and godly wisdom. Gathering together to discuss God's word, to talk about ways that God is revealing himself among us, and for God's indwelling Spirit to work through us. Connecting with God's people. Now, certainly, during these days of physical distancing, a good 6 feet or more, it's going to take a little bit more work. We're going to have to make a little bit more effort, not just to talk about feelings and work and those things, but for us to spend time talking about who God is, talking about his son Jesus, praying for his Spirit to move and work among us, so that we live out the fruit of the Spirit so that God is glorified. For us to connect with one another. That might mean more phone calls. For us to continue to learn how to do Zoom conferencing. Text messaging. Creative ways that we can connect with one another. To share our lives, but more importantly, to share the wisdom of God that comes by his Spirit because of his son Jesus. So let's go back to our original question that was asked by Lynn from Wuhan. Is the coronavirus God's plan? How do we answer this question and maybe countless others like it with the wisdom of God and not just our opinion or more information? How do we answer her question with the wisdom of God found in the power of the cross and in the power of the Spirit? Well, I think we begin by just getting the perspective that the wisdom of God is that Jesus Christ was crucified because of a broken world. It's clear that the world is broken and all of creation is groaning. I mean, I can't imagine another time or remember another time in my lifetime where the whole world has been focused on one aspect of how broken this world is. And yet, we see God is working in the midst of it. We have this perspective because we have this perspective of who Jesus is and what he did on the cross, dying in our place as our death substitute for the brokenness, for the sinfulness, for the illness spiritually that is leading to spiritual death apart from the saving work of God by his Son. By the power of his Spirit. And so with this perspective, we see that God is working in the midst of this to raise awareness of life and death and how out of control we are, how helpless we are, how much we need a Savior. And not that God did this bringing about an illness, but he's allowing our free will and the consequences of sin in the world to run its course so that the effectiveness of Christ crucified has its mark in our lives and in the lives of the world around us. We're in the middle of this great story of God's working on earth to bring about redemption. And yes, there are casualties as a result of sin in the world. Not the sin of individuals. It's not to say that individuals contract the coronavirus because they're sinful. No, I'm just as likely to get it as anyone. It's the perspective of there's sin in the world. All creation is broken. And we need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus, God's eternal Son. And so it's that perspective that gives us wisdom to what's going on in the world. And so the wisdom of God is found in the eternal plan of God to send his Son to forgive us and to redeem those who believe in him and trust him not only for this life, but for a relationship that will last for eternity, where there'll be no more illness, be no more tears, be no more fears, but just life in the presence of God with all those he's called to salvation through faith in his Son. We also have wisdom by God's Spirit to understand that human suffering, evil, even death is a part of the brokenness of this world. And yet, by God's predetermined plan of salvation, he's working to redeem us, to save us, and to restore us. A worldview that doesn't have God and his plan of salvation by faith in his Son, by the power of his Spirit at work in this world that is opposed to him, just can't make sense of the coronavirus or any other kind of suffering or difficulty or even death. An atheistic worldview simply can't make sense of evil in the world. Only believers in Christ who understand Christ and Christ crucified and the Spirit and his indwelling power that is at work within us to give us and to lead us by God's wisdom can make sense of COVID-19 or of things like it. You see, the wisdom of God is only found in the power of the cross of Christ and the power of his Spirit at work within us.